so happy. No name, no topic. Nothing is recorded. You know, I can tell whatever I wish. Now it is on record. That's much worse. I hope I will show. I have four transparencies data, very nice. This is experimental in a way statement. Theoretical implications are very interesting, but I shall certainly not have time to discuss. Data of group of Polikarpov from Moscow. Actually, I'm also only one Webson from this. I'm MPI Munich, but I'm only Webson from ITF. So, but I will start. If I present these things regularly, it takes some time. I had a talk last workshop. It was November. And also, I had very long discussion session in that workshop. And therefore, I decided, and this my official talk is recorded, and you can view it if you wish, I think. So I hate, no, it's, at least it's not, I hate the idea to just repeat myself, and then you can compare what I said today. So I will start with after this talk. Means that I will be trying to talk what I didn't know at that time. So I start, but of course somehow related, it is. And then if time permits, then I can go back, so to say, to say something more about this, go back if time permits. So let me start with introduction and let me immediately say to you that this introduction is tailored for this talk. It's not historically not justified. It has nothing to do with real development. But just to be able to jump at this point, I have tailored some introduction for this particular purpose. And this introduction is stochastic model, which is too much known to many of you. Too much, I mean, it was popular, and then it went to disgrace more or less, and then it's again popular among some people, but not majority of community. But I will need it for some particular purpose, for dimensional estimates only. So these equations which I'm going to write are going back to Feynman, they say, or at least for sure to papers of say early 70s, last century, so it's very old stuff. We're calculating Wilson loop in abelian case now, and this is exponent integral I in mu dx mu. And then first we make trivial action V square and take square root, so it's exponent minus 1/2 I squared and 1/2 because we square, and we have double integral. Then the model sets in, and instead of averaging exponent, it's abelian case.
But how you got correlations with x?
It's not yet, it is identity. I just squared and took square root.
So you wrote that integral?
Twice.
Okay.
It is, literally, it is from Cornwall 1982, but I'm sure that many other people wrote what I'm going to write. I can give reference. So next step is that instead of averaging exponent, we average exponential. If English is correct, and of course, and use Stokes theorem. So and then Well, you should know better than me, you know.
You play the dangerous games. That's why I want to be careful.
No, it's dangerous, but you will see. I mean, it's only for dimensional estimates. It is standard, actually.
Writing that original integral is, you know, what you mean, but then you took the expectation way upstairs.
Yeah, yeah, but this is absolutely standard. Yeah, this is this Gaussian. Yeah, yeah, but I really don't want now to discuss to go into discussion of this because I said it has 30 or 40 years of history and everyone almost has something to say. It's, but I will make a point which I believe nobody knows about at this moment. So it's not that. So it's absolutely standard. Then you write that this G menu of X. G alpha beta of x prime.
Okay, so G is just basically API. You got no interaction terms.
No, it is just in abelian case. It is identity. No, it is absolutely fine. No,
non-abelian case.
I will consider non-abelian case. Of course, yeah. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Just wait a minute. So, and this is absolutely standard and very old. So, then you write that it is G squared, it's coinciding points that this correlate is somehow exponentially decay. So, it is G squared corresponding to x equal to x prime times exponent minus x prime divided by some length t. And here, let me put how people use it usually. Here, let me write G squared confining so that we keep in some way confining fields. Because if we substitute this correlator here, then we will obtain area law. And the string tension is of order this G squared times T squared. So, and this is simplest way to derive, so to say, area law. Which goes back to Feynman, they say. Now, but so far it was abelian, and now I will make a central point for this estimate. Again, the whole thing is not central for me. But so non-abelian case. Let us imagine that we would do, and people did it actually, but I will jump to the answer. Here I put G squared confining. So, for example, of course, G squared is contributed, say, by perturbative fluctuation. So, this is usually used. G squared is lambda QCD to the fourth.
You can't. Well, I mean, it's still abelian. It's okay, but the non-abelian theory, there's no definition of G squared.
Right? Wait a minute.
Just okay.
That's what I was afraid of. I mean, that's too much. So what in non-abelian case? In non-abelian case, let us see what we did here. We used some identities to rewrite this integral Wilson loop, this integral in terms of G-menu using Stokes' theorem. So imagine that we do it in a non-abelian case, and everyone is aware of difficulties of some subtleness of Stokes' theorem in non-abelian case, but the correlator which can show up, the only one, is now, let me suppress alpha beta, GAX, GB of X prime. But if I leave it this way, then of course it's not gauge invariant, and therefore we cannot get by any manipulation this expression. What we can get, and we do get, what people do get, you should have this transport Dirac string or whatever in between, which connects points x and x prime. So this is the only correlator which can appear as a result of manipulations, and it does appear in real manipulations. So the central point is that because... Well, alpha beta delta, alpha beta Lorentz is not important. Like here, it is G. I mean,
well, then I let you go, but yeah, I'd like to know what happened.
Okay.
So you contract.
Well, yeah, somehow contract. It's not important. It is. Okay. I will make now the central point, which is correct or not. I mean, but in any case, it's. I think that is correct. Actually, it's not mine point, but Philippe de Farquhar. So Philippe somehow told me some 2 years ago that, look, this expression is clearly has correlation lengths of order, lattice spacing, because this string, Dirac string, it is just like Wilson loop, and it has ultraviolet divergent self-energy, which we are always not interested in. Here now we transport Kali along this line, and this has ultraviolet divergency.
X and X final are away.
Yes, so it is exponent, whatever it is, g squared times here exponent, some number, x minus minus x minus x prime, but divided by lattice spacing A. This is, and that's what the only purpose of my presentation now. I arrived at this equation. The point is that there is no gauge invariant correlator, bilinear in field strength tensors, which would not decay exponentially at lattice spacing, means just in zero distance in continuum limit.
But that's a divergence proportional to the length of this distance, and it's got a very simple behavior, right?
Yes, it is. But you cannot. But it's important. If you start from here, and if you think in terms of this stochastic model, you cannot arrive at something else but this expression. And this is indeed what appears as a result of. You may not believe the whole model. It's up to you. I don't. I mean, I never used it as motivation for myself. I just jumped to the answer. But if you believe in this kind of model, then you should believe into this, and then you should believe that g squared confining is of order lambda qcd squared divided by a squared, which means ultraviolet divergent.
Yeah, you're touching on one of my pet peeves. I don't know what g squared confining means, because if I go from one to the other,
yeah, well, it's you're jumping a little bit. I mean, again, it's absolutely reasonable question. When I hear that, I told you here, it is something knowledge, you know, actually not much better maybe than myself. There is something knowledge of confinement, yeah? And later, it's actually now it's very appropriate what we, to discuss this point. And because I said I'm not sure told that I will have any time for this main topic, but let me now formulate it in this way, that there is very many years of work on phenomenology of confinement, and there are some field configurations about which is known that if you remove them from lattice, they are small amount of lattice spaces, lattice plaquettes, then you lose confinement. So let me now understand it in this way. So this is actually not even related to this problem, but when I told you that confining fluctuations combine both lambda QCD and lattice spacing, let me now give you, of course, it's defined algorithmically much better than what I'm saying now, but let me confine myself to this definition that confining fluctuations are such fluctuations which if you remove them, then you lose confinement, and if you remove on random the same amount of information, you do not lose confinement.
So, logical,
yes, logical parameter. Yeah. But this goes. Your question now goes to this. I mean, basic point which I'm going, which I'm making. Here it is just on the same basis as here. People usually substitute the g squared. So this is what we should have if we, believe into this model. And for normalization, let me remind you that g squared, if I consider g mu nu a squared, g squared is g mu nu a lattice, a scalar squared, then it's of course dominated by perturbation theory. It is 1 over a to the fourth. It is ultraviolet divergent.
Well, I'm sorry, I may take you where you don't want to. I have a problem in general with these tests that you remove something and then the effect goes away and then you say that's responsible. My example is you have a river, men here, women here, and the bridge. Without the bridge, you know, population dies out. With the bridge, population doesn't die out. Does it mean that that you know, we multiply by bridges?
Well, I believe your question belongs to the next auditorium. Yes. So, really.
Removing a configuration doesn't mean that that configuration and having an effect go away doesn't mean that that configuration.
Well, let's say it is possible. There are different ways. I mean, you will draw me in some kind of discussion, which I mean you should have had on these latest conferences, which you have every year. So the standard procedures I told you, you remove in some very well defined way. You suspect that some configurations are responsible for confinement. Then, for some reasons, I mean previous reasons, you work 10 years and you feel that these are responsible. Then you invent a procedure to remove them. We can discuss it later, not today, I don't know, with you. How do you remove it? Then you see that you lose confinement means that you remeasure Wilson loop with these plaquettes removed and see that string tension goes to zero. To check that you just did not damage the whole lattice too much, you remove arbitrarily this randomly the same amount of plaquettes and see that nothing happens to the confinement because you remove, let me make a statement, a negligible part of the lattice. You remove part of the lattice which vanishes in the limit of lattice spacing goes to zero. When you remove here, means you remove some part of lattices of last length or whatever, which is proportional to power lattice spacing times lambda QCD, and then the continuum limit is just zero, exact zero. And this is what I call confining confrontations, and this, I believe, is very reasonable. Concerning your question about the bridge, I don't know how it helps you. I don't know whether it helps at all. So let me, so in the, this G squared, to fit these equations, I mean, I repeat myself. This is you may not believe in this model. It's fine, but if you believe just for the sake of estimates, then you arrive to this conclusion: G squared is confining should be this way. And for normalization, let me remind you that G squared total is dominated by perturbative fluctuations. They are much stronger, because they are ultra divergent as fourth power. And so to say, traditional confining fields. Let me instantons write. I mean, just. This would be of lambda QCD to the fourth. The actual confinement, according to this model, you would could have come to the conclusion, although nobody did it, that this confinement field should be this way. And let me now say that this answer is correct phenomenologically.
What is the density of your, let's say, removed plaquettes?
Just I will write this very moment. This is correct. So in which sense it is correct? It is, if you have only this constraint, it's you don't know yet much because you may organize for this G squared in different ways. What is reality organized that you have surfaces, two-dimensional surfaces, which have, however, extra action associated with these surfaces is of order of perturbation theory. So surfaces are two-dimensional, but they are very rare. I will write in a moment. They have action, extra action comparable to the perturbation theory, about one half of it. So in equations, this looks this way, that these confinement fluctuations are having total area. These are percolating two-dimensional surfaces, percolating. Total area is approximately 24 Fermi minus 2. This is SU2. Here I am discussing always either SU2 or SU3, Pu, Young, Mills. It's theoretical, it's not realistic. So it is about 24. I have pictures, plots, you may see what the error bars are. 24 Fermi minus 2 times total volume of the lattice. It's percolating, so it's proportional to the lattice. This, answering your question, in other terms, you may say that probability for a plaquette to belong to this surface is equal to some number, I could have looked at, but I don't, times lambda QCD theoretically times latent spacing A squared. So the probability for a given plaquette to belong to this surface goes down quadratically with latent spacing if you go down with latent spacing. So observationally, it's absolutely beautiful effect because you change. It's not logs, but it's just powers. By itself, this observation, when I saw this similar observation in terms of lines, I was absolutely struck, of course, because all of us know that we have lambda QCD times A, the only dimensionless parameter in QCD, but all of us got used to the idea that we work with logs of this parameter. Now you have observation, observable, you see with your eyes, something which has directly powers of this parameter, which is absolutely theoretically, it's absolutely beautiful and challenging observation, I should say.
The surface is connected by the connection?
It's a connected surface. Yes, it is connected, closed. It is surface on dual lattice, connected, closed, yes.
The lambda QCD comes from a careful scaling analysis.
Yes. And
so the difference between what you and I are saying, you say your surface, so a distance between the surface and itself, some folding, is not going as A, but the total number of plaquettes is going as A squared, so therefore you.
Yeah, probability for a given, it is exactly the same statement as here.
There's more and more plaquettes, but there's not more and more surface.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. So, and this is first property, and the second property, total action of this surface, non-abelian action, not some projected or whatever, just actual non-abelian action is equal to 0.54 total area divided by lattice spacing squared. So it's ultraviolet divergent. So the total area is in physical units. It is absolutely remarkable, of course, object. This total area is constructed from small plaquettes, I mean A squared, where A is lattice squared. The total area is the same, although each plaquettes change direction at each step. They just randomly change, you can check it. Indeed, they randomly change the direction. Total area, nevertheless, if you go to the next lattice spacing, total area is the same. And there is ultraviolet divergent action associated, non-abelian ultraviolet divergent action associated with these surfaces. These are experimental data. I just don't want to lose time to show them at this moment, but I should show them at one moment.
So what is the procedure for finding
the surface? Well, it is just central vortices. I mean, if you...
I'm sorry?
It is central vortex. Yeah, of course. Yeah, it's
thin central vortex.
Yeah, this is. Yeah. But central vortices were usually considered in terms of infrared. This is ultraviolet analysis of central vortex. Plus, issue are some other things. Okay. So, and if you substitute now these two observations actually correspond to, if you project them to G squared, then you would get this estimate. And if you, I just even was not lazy to see the numbers, the coefficient. If you go back to this equation, I mean, written in respective way, then numbers is such that sigma stochastic, so to say, stochastic is equal to approximately 1/2 of sigma actual. So, and for this model, of course, because there is minimal area and so on, it's very not bad. This is absolutely byproduct. It was never. This analysis is absolutely independent, and this model looks not bad. Now, yeah.
So now, if I split my space-time into this surface and the rest of it, is the statement that the rest of the surface just has strictly the perturbative divergence and nothing else? Can you claim that, or is it?
Well, it is a very nice question, and I mean, it goes. Most involved paper of myself is devoted to, I mean, to this question, but I have no time whatsoever to discuss it. So, but still, let me formulate the answer without explaining much. When I say that this non-abelian action is such, well, the real procedure is you measure action and you subtract average over the lattice. So this is extra action. You have this surface, you measure action of the plaquettes belonging. Maybe I should show the picture, I don't know. let us how we should organize it. Because at least we will remember some data which are beautiful by themselves. Yes, we should. So this, there are actually two constants, so to say. This is total area in physical units as function of lattice spacing. So this is total area. So this is a total area, which I wrote you 24 Fermi. And this is quality of the data. You change lattice spacing in the way which you hear, and this is the total area. And then this is action. This is action. But now in lattice units, which means ultraviolet divergence. So this is, and this is total all plaquettes on this surface. This is how they. This means the constant now means the total action is equal to area divided by lattice spacing squared ultraviolet in ultraviolet divergent units. Now then you have this plaquettes belonging to the surface. Then you measure next plaquettes. I mean surfaces somehow you define, and then you measure action. The same procedure for next plaquettes. There are two different types geometrically, two directions perpendicular to the surface. There are two types of next plaquettes, and next plaquettes are here, and this is zero. So on average, it is just action concentrated on this particular surface. So of course, it's quantum measurement. It's average for the whole thing. I will come back to your question. Because I would not have time to come back, there are some particles living on the surface, and the action is higher than on average, also constant. This is action for particles living on the surface, and this is action without particles, so to say. This I will have no time to come back, I believe. So now this is data, which actually. And now coming back.
No,
I did not yet start to answer your question. So now G squared, what is it is a beauty of lattice. G squared, although it's ultraviolet divergent, is calculable on the lattice with many, many orders of perturbation theory. Now it is 10 orders of perturbation theory which calculable here. So it is constant. This is number of degrees of freedom. This is vacuum energy in the zero approximation, cosmological constant, and here's. And then numbers, and alpha s, powers of alpha s. Now, this is calculable for the whole of the lattice average, it's average plaquette. And accuracy of calculations is such that this surface must be included. This is this contribution of surfaces to this G squared is of order here. It is here lambda squared times A squared correction. It's somewhere corresponding to high orders of perturbation theory.
This is number perturbative,
right? That's why I told you I would not go into this. I shall tell you just the answer. So as far as you calculate the local quantity, this is a kind of theorem. It's most interesting aspect of it theoretically. There is a kind of theorem in QCD that all ultraviolet divergences are calculable in QCD perturbatively. So as far as you concentrate on the local quantity, this is should be calculable, and it is calculable. It's already here. In real numbers, it is already there. It is. I mean, you cannot remove these surfaces in the sense of contribution to G squared and have agreement with perturbation theory. So as far as local quantities are concerned, this contribution of surfaces, everything which is ultraviolet divergent is calculable perturbatively. But but this is very good actually, because the point is that these surfaces are excitations, dual excitations. Okay, there is a kind of duality.
I'm a little bit surprised you say it can be calculated
too,
because
Lambert UCD
squared
contains that. Okay, let me have a separate seminar. I mean, it's almost this question is asked, but you know, you should have known, Pierre, excuse me.
Well, I haven't followed everything, but what I do know is that there's, of course, these impressive perturbative calculations of the blackhead.
You know, it is, I mean, it is.
And then people in the old days subtracted this perturbative expansion. They saw.
Yeah, this is old story. I'm very happy to discuss it in great length, you know.
You're not like QCD is squared. Is that coming from the dual formulation of the theory? Is that then a perturbative parameter in the dual formulation, or?
It's too much to ask. I mean, so answer to your first question is that the fact that lambda QCD is exponential does not mean that this kind of things cannot be calculated perturbatively. There is a science to which accuracy you expect your perturbation theory to work. It works until you see this asymptotical nature of the perturbative series when it starts to diverge. And according to the current and quite reliable understanding, this first term which you should not be able to calculate is lambda times the correction of order lambda QCD times A everything to the fourth power, which is very trivial. It just cancels this A and you are left with pure lambda QCD. So if you have mixed something mixed between lambda QCD and lattice spacing, everything is calculable perturbatively. This is a kind of theory. Yes.
It's always bothers me about this is that if I change from one perturbative scheme to another where there's a non-perturbative difference between the two schemes.
Well, this is very old questions. I mean, I cannot go into this. I mean, let's stop it here.
But I can always define my G to be the first term.
Yes, yes. Yeah, so it is, there are some, so to say. So you should sacrifice it and then go to calculate something else. It's a very old question. I mean, this quite famous definition of TOF that you have beta function with two terms. Then, of course, beta function does not have any perturbative extension, just two terms. But then you go in and calculate other quantities and you apply it, and you apply it to other quantities. I mean, this is by interesting. A very interesting subject by itself, but it's certainly not for my talk today. But nevertheless, answering your question, it is a part of theory. You cannot remove it without destroying theory. Yes.
But again, so the statement is, this surface is well defined. That's all. You know, you can rule out the possibility that there is something going on outside the surface which has similar divergence.
Well, similar, you see, perturbation theory by itself is stronger divergent, and it's one, look at this. Still, it is, in terms of local quantity, it is a small correction to this, because it's lambda QCD times A. It is small correction. But there are two facets of it, what we are discussing now. This local, this structure is non-local. I mean, it is extended structure, this extended structure, I don't know even how to try to calculate perturbatively. If you would ask me whether I'm able to calculate the whole structure perturbatively, this I don't know. I believe not possible. It's just not well, not familiar question. However, there are some why is the whole thing so exciting theoretically? Because if indeed confining fluctuations are sensitive to lattice spacing, which we have no doubts now, then we don't have yet theory, full theory of it, but they are subject to very strong constraints. Why I am so much jumping up about ultraviolet path? Why I'm not so much interested in potential at three fermions? Because if QCD is well defined and under control, we think at short distances. So everything which shows ultraviolet divergence is at least, if not calculable directly, subject to very strong constraint. So this is one of the strong constraints. You have this non-local structure and you are happy about confinement of knowledge or whatever. But then a theorist comes and says that this is, if you project it to something which actually was not interesting for confinement, local quantity, this is projection of the whole thing to local quantity. Then in local quantities, if you see ultraviolet divergence, it must be calculable perturbatively. It is constrained from QCD. So this structure, if it is produced within KCD and it is produced within KCD, no matter whether it's how non-local it is, if you project it to local quantity and find ultraviolet divergence, this ultraviolet divergence must be calculable perturbatively, because it's part of theory. So it is constrained, very strong constraint. There are further constraints, actually. It's most, for me, of course, it was most interesting, but I have no, I mean, it's not my talk today. So, and but I feel that I shall not have time to come back to this. So if you have some general questions, maybe you ask now, because I will not be able to go back, so to say. I'm still going to, I've not yet started to discuss what I was thinking here about, but it will be rather short and related to it.
Maybe at the risk that you tell me again, I should know, but your emphasis is on, since you have an ultraviolet quantity that is associated to these confining configurations, it has to be calculable perturbatively. Now, my worry is, because you multiply it with lambda using e squared, there should be also some non-perturbative aspect. Can you rule out that something like when you calculate, say, cross sections, you have to have Parton distribution functions sort of combined with the ultraviolet part of the scattering? So there could be an infrared part that sort of factorizes from the ultraviolet part. But that means that if you want to reliably calculate this quantity, you have to calculate that infrared part also reliably. And I sort of agree that the Ronner ratio means that there is some perturbative part, because it's dominated by short distance fluctuations. But the lambda QCD squared does tell you there's no perturbative.
Well, you know, it is, Stan, I don't know how to even, about Parton distributions, maybe there's something which I don't, I have not much experience in that. Yeah, but let me then ask you, let me write G squared correction lambda QCD to power 1/1000 times A divided by 4 - 1000. Is it calculable perturbatively or not? Lambda QCD to power 1000 for any practical purpose is just a unit. Yeah, I mean, it's nothing. It is really a standard reaction. When people see lambda QCD, they somehow immediately jump to the assumption that it's not calculable. The whole problem is, of course, that you are dealing still with about finite alpha s. First of all, for example, you could have imagined, you could have tried to modify theory by adding this kind of terms just from outside, but this is not QCD. Of course, if you formulate some other theory which has, and he may divide by 1000 or whatever, then I don't know. But in QCD itself, you are working always with finite alpha s. And what we mean that we have some non-calculable, you calculate perturbatively in terms of some alpha s. And of course, you calculate some powers of alpha s, power n, and you don't calculate e to minus. But this for finite alpha s. And you go ahead and until then you observe that alpha n is proportional to n factorial, then you observe that the product is large, and then here you stop and see how large your contribution is, and this is actual uncertainty of calculation. And this uncertainty in case of G squared is by correction of order lambda QCD A times to the fourth power. Now, the only price which you pay, the whole thing is that you don't have alpha s equal to zero. So the only price which you pay, that this number of n, you should go to some n from equal 1 to n, and this n is of order of 1 over alpha s itself. That's you always find, you keep always everything finite. If you tend alpha s to zero, then you need the infinite number of terms. So it is about infinities. And once you regularize them, then you can answer these questions. And as far as you keep this alpha s small, but 1/log, I mean, then you can answer this question and find out that uncertainty is of this order. But
it's not clear what you mean by calculating the term.
Yeah. But I believe this is standard meaning here.
I also have a question. So you said about the total non-abelian action is 0.54 or something. So do we understand correctly that the total action of everybody is going like 1/8 to the 4? So So this is a, let's say, a very small part of the total action.
It is a small part of the total action for the total lattice, but on this for the plaquettes which you identify as belonging to the surface, the measurement is easy. It is the same order as perturbation theory. So perturbation theory on average is 1 unit. On these plaquettes, the action is 2 units. So it is very easy measurement. You see the from error bars. If it were some very small addition, then we would never have. So this smallness for the contribution for the total G squared is because these plaquettes are array. But on the plaquettes themselves, the action is very high.
Yes, but now the question is, it is of course everything is weighted by the total action. So why is it some sort of entropy? Why are they there in the actual context?
Yes, because they are. It is absolutely non-trivial statement that they are there. This is experimental statement that they are there. Yes, theoretically, you see that they are suppressed by with action, which is ultimately divergent, and therefore the only chance for them to exist from theoretical point of view, experimentally just see them, they are each configuration, this is typical, so to say, absolutely typical. Theoretically, the only way for them to exist is to cancel suppression due to the action by entropy. So entropy must be exponentially large. And what is seen for entropy, indeed, that you see that it's exponentially large because you see that it exponentially large entropy comes from the changing directions. You have plaquette, and there are different ways to for adjacent plaquette to look some direction. And this in, you can measure this. You can measure that it's indeed random. And that's this which brings exponential factor for entropy. Unfortunately, theoretically, this is not possible to calculate this entropy independently. So you see that action is exponentially large suppression, entropy is exponentially large enhancement, but you can check theoretically that they cancel each other. You see with I that the fluctuations exist, but not able to check theoretically that they exist. On the other hand, there are also some lines which I told called particles, and for these lines which are called monopoles, there is excess of action, and for them there is a theory, because for particles there is simple theory, and for them the action should be tuned to log of 7, and this is total extra action, ultraviolet divergent extra action associated with particles I showed you, and they live on the surfaces, and for particles you roughly can see that it is about theoretical number log of 7. So for particles you can check it is average for all monopoles. It is for percolating monopoles. This is for ultraviolet monopoles. So this is it's too much. So look at this. It is just average for these particles. This triangles is average. So you, in case of surfaces, you see that both are exponentially large, and entropy and suppression, but you cannot check theoretically that it what exactly the number which should be. But you see that area of order lambda QCD means that these strings, this is string, two-dimensional surfaces are strings, and this area of order lambda QCD means that the tension is lambda QCD. And again, it's not what I was going to discuss with you with these questions back. If you, it is a theoretical statement which you can read, I don't know, in any standard book on this quantum geometry. Imagine that you would like, that you have a theory of strings. I mean, you have a string theory. And you would like to make simulations of this theory on the lattice. Yeah? Then there is no other way but to assume for this string any consistent theory of strings with finite tension would assume infinite ultraviolet divergent action and infinite enhancement due to entropy. There is no other way. So if somebody had a theory, so this thing looks indeed like a string because it has ultraviolet divergent action, it has ultraviolet divergent entropy, and then tension, which is total area, is lambda QCD. So this is exactly like string, and therefore, if you look at this is actually main theoretical statement, message for theory, if you look at just direct formulation of QCD, you may look as long as you wish, you would never figure out who commands this cancellation of huge factors, you know. So this the only possibility theoretically, the only way out is to assume that there is some hidden symmetry, which is a possibility to formulate a theory in dual way, which commands this cancellation. So this is a strong indication that QCD has a dual formulation in terms of strings, literally. And you can check this logic. It's very common, again, it's very common. It's in you have U1 examples well understood of confinement, and it's always true in these examples. There are 3, 4, 5, I don't know, examples that confining fluctuations can be also used as fundamental variables of dual formulation. Compact U1, you see monopoles, they confine, but on the other hand, you can rewrite this compact U1 in terms of monopole current. So it is dual formulation. So, and therefore, this theoretically, this is a strong message that QCD should have a formulation in terms of strings. But this is again going back. It's not what. I don't know how to press. Okay, so. Now I would like to come closer to the interests of this audience, and it's yes.
So the surface is somehow relevant for confinement, right? Because
yes.
It comes from these considerations of sample obviously. But again, if I think of some other quantities. How do I think of the contribution of the surface and the contribution of the rest of the? It is a finite surface in the four-dimensional volume.
Yes, and so what?
What is the special meaning beyond confinement? What is the special meaning of the surface in evaluating in a physical observable?
Well, this is in a way. Historically, they appeared as confinement, from confinement, and they are crucial for confinement. This is observable, which is crucial. Theoretically, they are much more interesting on their own. That's what I'm trying to say. This is in a way simple objects which we see because they are characterized by action, they are characterized by particles living on them, but still it's very, they are self-avoiding, they are closed. So if you formulate it as outcome for string theory to look for an object which should be relevant to QCD, it's quite well defined and after all 5, 6 points which are easy to enumerate. However, this is just in a approximation, we are in a way lucky that these things ultraviolet divergent. We are lucky that consistent string theory, string fluctuation should be a cancellation between these two large quantities which are easy to measure. But on the other hand, the price for it is that we measure only some basic quants like self-energy. This is a simple picture because we are in a way just like measuring self-energy. On the other hand, of course, there are some interactions which are on scale of lambda QCD. These huge quantities cancel each other, and then we have some rest of order lambda QCD, and then there is interaction of these surfaces with particles, whatever. But these are much more difficult to measure because they are after cancellation. So we are lucky to see cancellation in huge quantities, but we cannot, I don't know much about properties of the surface beyond this approximation. I didn't tell you four properties which I could have told you about, but it's not an infinite amount because it is only the approximation when we look for these large quantities which cancel after all. In many physical observables, they cancel.
Yeah, in a naive sense, the surfaces you identify in terms of the P4 uses are, I think, not directly connected to what you would think are the strings between several quarks.
No, it is closed strings. No, it's excitations of vacuum.
Closed strings, yeah.
That is closed strings. That's theory of vacuum. It is vacuum.
Okay, but you would want to connect it to the...
But it is theoretical. Yes, that's how it is connected. I mean, yeah, but it is indirect way, yes. But we see exactly the same with monopoles. I don't know, monopoles in just a human case. Monopoles condense, but then you calculate the field and see that Wilson line, it is next, it's just partly what I was answering.
It would still be interesting to